Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to 99.5 WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM 970 Buffalo, WDCX AM 990 Rochester, and WDCX HD1 Rochester, and WDCD AM 1540 Albany.
This is one of those days where I've left the phone lines locked throughout the conversation just so we'd have time to hear the stories of these men, and we're going to continue our conversation. If you're just joining us, we've got four guys from the Niagara region who've all come to faith in Christ and who are involved in discipleship ministry together, growing and being followers of Jesus Christ, but also pursuing God in terms of their families and their ministries, and it's just really cool to hear what God's done. We're going to continue our conversation, and I'm going to unlock the lines. If you want to join us at any point, feel free, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. That's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll be back to continue our conversation after this from Muskoka Bible Center.
This is a great conversation. Just imagine how cool it would be if Neil knew what you had to say about it. Call him at 716-883-5000 or toll free 800-684-2848.
Fine, well, let's get to it. Hour number three here. If you've just tuned in, we've had the privilege of hearing the testimonies of a number of different guys here. Rick Osborne, who runs a ministry called Truth for Teens, but he spent 25 years in prison. Early in his life, involved in all kinds of gang activity, criminal activity. Scott Montgomery, he also has an incredible testimony. They all do. They all have amazing stories. John Cowell was a guy who started out headed in the right direction but got into some trouble as well, and God brought him to faith in Christ, believe it or not, a church on the beach just a couple of years ago.
Amen.
And Steve Grant's here as well. He's a guy who grew up in church. Rick, you were just saying during the break that you think it was maybe easier for somebody like you to come to faith in Christ than someone like Steve. How come?
Well, when I first got out of prison, I would start talking about my wife, you know, this beautiful teacher from Queens who had grace on me and saw something in me. And I would say, I married up. And finally, she said to me one day, "You need to stop saying that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a Christian before I met you. I married up." And I got eternal life out of this. But I said, explain that farther. And she did the same thing. She said, I grew up as a good kid. I could, I grew up in a good home. I would do community things. Right. I thought I was okay. I thought I could do life without God, right? And so I think and she said, so it was harder for me to see that it was just a shell game. And you weren't really happy, and you weren't, like Scott says, you're just chasing. But you're not really feeling joy. You're not really feeling
peace,
love. You're not really feeling connected. When I was in prison, prison is a good teacher of men, right? Because the petri dish is pretty small, right? And so here you are in prison. And in prison, I come from the 70s in prison. And back then, we didn't have protective custody. We had shunning. So if a guy came in and he was a pedophile, we shunned him. He didn't exist. And we could get guys to suicide because they couldn't make eye contact with anybody and they didn't belong. And I think that's what we are out here, running around trying to fill the void with everything we can. But we're out of connection with God. And we're just trying to get in connection. So I think a guy like me, who was like the best I could get myself, is 1-2-3 turn in my prison cell. I knew if I was going to survive this, it had to be God. So I think it was easier for a guy like me than a guy who can kind of make it work.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think when you live a certain lifestyle and God pulls you out of that, there's such a contrast in where you were and where you are now that it's just amazing to see that. So, and a lot of guys we get that come out to the group and stuff like that, they'll say, "Well, I was raised Catholic," and then you almost got to unlearn. You know what I'm saying? Because they got this, most of them aren't devout or following the Lord in any way, but they were raised that way, so they got different ideas about how you do this, how you do that. So, you're a good person, and I think what happens is when it's easier to learn for a guy like me or a guy like Rick or, because you never had any of that.
Right, because of greater contrast.
That's right.
Let me welcome Kenneth to the conversation here real quick. He's from Toronto. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Kenneth, welcome to the small group. We're hanging out here in Crystal Beach, man. What's up?
Well, Jesus loves you, Neil. I'll be praying for you, Steve, Rick, and Steve's wife, the 444 guys over Fort Erie. By the way, peer pressure is one thing about Christians have to deal with, whether it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, or anything that's junky business. God can clean you up. And a lot of Christians are in peer pressure. I talked to Rex Scott, ex-senator, this Christian rock from California. The whole thing is this. You want hell or you want heaven? Or you want a good, healthy lifestyle and Jesus' victory over the world, flush the devil when you ride your car or you're traveling around and learn the Christian lifestyle 100% from A to Z. There's not going to be persecution and everything. See, when you want Jesus, you got Jesus. But Buddha and Catholicism, JWs, they're all going to go to hell. But you got to make your right decision, make it work. When you hear a good Christian brother, I'm praying for you right now. Hey, man, this is the real reality. If you don't got life in Jesus, you got nothing in life at all. Jesus is the real God. Kenneth. Buddha's phony. Everybody's phony. Hey, I love you. I'll be praying for you at WCX. Thanks to Anna, the sticker for the bicycle, okay? Jeff Jefford. So all you guys have a great day. I hope you understand. You can learn from me. Peer pressure becomes everything. All right.
Thank you. God bless. He's jacked up for Jesus. Are you kidding me?
I love this guy, too. He's awesome.
He doesn't beat around the bush. He was only on for 1 minute and 1 second.
Wow.
61 seconds. He covered the entire gamut of Christianity. That's awesome. But he mentioned peer pressure, so let's talk about that for a second. Because, even in the body of Christ, you can get... Well, here's an example. Let's say that you're sold out to serving Jesus, and you get around some Christians that are lukewarm. That's another form of peer pressure that can be deadly to our walk. So it's not like we need to, I don't think we should shun them. That's not the answer. So what would you guys say? What do you do when you get around somebody that isn't interested in pursuing Christ with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Well, you know what? In my case, I step away because I'm not that strong. You know, and as John said earlier, every day I'm growing, right? Every day I'm growing, and eventually I'll be strong enough. Right now I'm not. So if I actually get somebody who's impeding what I'm doing, I just step off.
Right. All right. Now, Steve, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I do the same thing. I cannot save myself. How can I save anybody else? So it's all the Holy Spirit, and it's what the Holy Spirit does. So I say my piece. I'll say it boldly with the authority of Jesus Christ, but it's up to the Holy Spirit to rattle that around in their heads and convict their hearts. And it may not happen that moment.
Right.
It may not happen that day or time after. But the Holy Spirit can use even the feeble preaching that Jonah did in Nineveh to turn the whole city.
Interesting. Yeah, and like I said, I don't think that it's the role of any believer to shun anyone ever, since we're to love our enemies. But the point is, we can choose who we allow to have influence in our life. Who we're going to listen to, who we're going to be persuaded by, and those are some key decisions.
I think that's the problem with a lot of people. I know even some of the new guys, a friend of mine, Anthony, that's starting to come. There has got to be a cutting off, you know what I mean, of the old lifestyle. If you stay in there, I mean, you just, Jesus says you cannot serve two masters.
Amen.
You'll love one and you'll hate the other. So who are you serving? That's really what it comes down to. But and that's a process too, because I believe when you come, you know, you get saved. But then this, I don't know, a guy told it like this: it's like we still got the grave clothes on, so we're shedding that. There's still some stuff on us, but we can't move. We smell bad, but as we grow, that stuff comes off. And I think that you've got to draw the line too on sin. If you see somebody in something and you love them enough to tell them the truth, I think that's and that's hard to do, because again, it affects relationships. Should I say something to my brother? Should I not? So I mean, he's laughing, John's laughing, because it's I mean, some of our meetings aren't this calm. This guy's walking around leaving screaming. It's iron sharpens iron. So it's not always this calm.
At least I stopped walking.
Yeah, you're still sitting.
Wow, I love it. All right, well, we'll take a quick break. When we come back to the phones, maybe get a few more phone calls in here. And I've got a bunch of questions, too. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 if you want to be a part of the conversation. A Tuesday edition of Lifeline, live with a bunch of guys here in the Niagara region of Southern Ontario. More coming up after this from the fear-free dentist, Dr. Francis Long.
I don't care if your knees are knocking. It's just Neil you'll be talking with. Now go to the phone and call him at 716-883-5000 or toll free 800-684-2848.
You know what's interesting about this song from Brandon Heath called Give Me Your Eyes is the reality that God does have a way of seeing the world that's different from us, and we can say, Lord, you know, there's hurting people all around me, there's needs all around me, would you open my eyes to see people the way that you see them and to love them the way that you love them? And after coming to faith in Christ, we go through the process of having our minds renewed, and ultimately we get the mind of Christ. It's an incredible thing to watch the transformation occur and realize that our lives are changing. And we've been listening to some of that in hearing the stories of Rick Osborne and Scott Montgomery and John Cowell and Steve Grant on today's edition of Lifeline. We've got a number of other phone calls to get to here, and Arthur, you'll be next in Iowa right after that. So let's go up to Toronto. And Arthur, what's on your heart, man? You've been listening to the conversation. What's up?
Well, not much, man. You know something? I had a friend, a Christian friend. He told me there's a good thing on the radio. Listen, so I listen. And I just wanted to say, you know, the Christian life, it's a life of dedication. It's not just by name or thought. It's by heart. And if your heart is not willing to walk with Christ, with all your heart, then you can have Christ, because he gave all his life, and if you can give him all your life, there is no sense. And I was just saying to somebody before I came on the air that was my life, going to church and thinking that I'm a Christian and living in sin, you know, and it's okay, well, Jesus will forgive me, but you know, without understanding the meaning of the cross and what did he have to go through to deliver me from hell. So one day I just found out, you know, I was in sleep and suddenly all my sins came before me. And I get scared. I get scared to go to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell, but I used to think I'm a Christian. So all my sins, they convict me. And they came before me, like even the ones I did since what I remember when I was a child.
So, Arthur, hang on a second, because you're raising an interesting point here. Scott, both you and John, when you told your story, said there was a time when you had prayed a prayer, but nothing changed.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people in our listening audience who've prayed a prayer and nothing's changed. So there's got to be something to this idea of what Arthur's mentioning, that it's about where our hearts actually are.
Absolutely. And if you say it just from the sake of saying it and not putting it into your life and living that lifestyle, well, you might as well talk to the sky.
See, there's got
to
be repentance in there. And
absolutely.
I think, and I've learned this too, just in the last little while, that God does the drawing. So God has to draw you. Mm-hmm. He says he's drawing you. But there, unless, and I mean, God, I believe when you're truly converted, God shows you your sin, who you are. Like, you see who you are, because it's hard to get saved if you don't know what you're getting saved from.
Sure.
You know, so I think there's got to be a real look at the heart and its condition, where we are, and then to say, I need a Savior. But if we can't see our sin and where we're at, and when God shows you that, it's overwhelming.
Don't you think, I don't know if we got time to go into all the theology of this, and I'm not sure if any of us are smart enough to do it anyway, but pass the mic back to Scott for just 1 second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you said when you gave your life to Christ, if I remember what you were saying earlier, you had prayed a prayer earlier, but time went by, nothing really changed.
That's right.
On the day that you truly know that you were born again, I think you even used that term.
Right. That's right.
I think the Holy Spirit was present convicting you of sin. It was his conviction.
Absolutely.
Meaning that God had entered the equation. He was present there, and he was showing you what you look like in light of his holiness.
Yeah,
You couldn't manufacture that is what I'm getting at. That wasn't you doing that.
No, I believe that, and I believe that's why there was such a battle that went on. You know what I mean? I believe the Holy Spirit was there convicting, and then when you live a certain way and the shame, the guilt, that's where the enemy wants to keep you.
But you mentioned there was people praying for you.
Absolutely.
You think that made a difference?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where my wife and her family and their faith come in. I know that, and her mother's gone to be with the Lord 2 years ago, but, you know, her mother was the only one. I mean, and I... if I was somebody's mother who treated my daughter that way, I would have said, you hit the road.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I know there's something good inside that boy. She knew. She'd been praying. So she was very excited when
I wanted to bring that up because there are people who are concerned about friends and loved ones, and they don't seem to see any real change.
Hmm.
And I just want to say, don't stop praying.
That's right.
Because I've told this story 100 times in the air, but I know that my wife has prayed for me since the day we got married and even before that. And I'm grateful for her prayers because she has needed the comfort of the Lord to deal with me as a husband and a father who at times was just more concerned about myself than about my own kids and about our marriage. And God's done an incredible work in my life. But I got to tell you, the day that I opened her prayer journal, just passing by, just happened to open the prayer journal and saw that she was also fasting for me. I knew it was prayer and fasting. I was toast. And I actually got mad a little bit, and then I got scared because I thought, I'm actually going to have to change. This is not good. I am not happy right now.
That's why you got mad, because you got scared.
Yeah. Rick, you look like you were going to say something.
Yeah, you know what? I'm really glad we're talking about prayer, because it's something we really haven't touched on. And I have a sister named Dawn Laurie. She's very close to me. She's here down in Niagara Falls right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to prison, I was a monster, okay? Like, I was a very terrible person. And she was part of Bayview Glen. It's a church in Toronto at the time. And she was in a program called College and Careers. And so there was an older woman there, a widower woman, who said, can I pray for, do you have somebody I could pray for? And so my sister said, pray for my brother Rick. And so I met her in 2008 in Newmarket, and we've got, so this is a woman who prayed for me the entire time that I was in prison. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I get to heaven, am I going to see where she was the one who was intervening when I survived this? So I thought it was really neat that she was 70-something years old when I met her later. And she couldn't believe that she didn't know that anything, she didn't know her prayers were going anywhere. And they actually were. And I love that God let me see that, and I love that God let her see that.
That is so cool.
But
yeah,
my,
Scott?
I just want to say, too, my aunt and uncle, they've been Christians all their life, and I know that, she's one of the women that have been praying for me. And it took me a while after I got saved, but Tanya's mother, my fiancée who passed, her mother was a devout Christian lady, and she used to... All she did was read the Bible. I used to go there all the time and tell her, you're absolutely nuts. And she'd say, I'd be praying for you. And I just laugh. I go, your mom's crazy. And once the Holy Spirit showed me that, that woman was continually praying. Me and Dave Bren talked about it one time. So there's something to be said about praying.
Yeah, Steve, you were going to add something real quick.
We've talked about the dichotomy of these guys before. And this is what the Holy Spirit put on my heart, and we've been skirting all around it. And what you said, you know, just earlier is another prelude into it. It's in Luke 18:9. And he spoke this parable to certain which he trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. You could put biker in there. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. It is hard as a Christian, I believe, to come to this point. When these guys are going to give testimony, you can fill up sanctuaries to hear their testimony. What about Bill, the deacon? Are people going to come and hear that? As we hear testimonies, I've studied my own reactions as I listen to guys like this, you know, over time in church. And you kind of live vicariously through the stuff that they're telling. You don't actually perform it, but you kind of enjoy it. It's the same thing as when we watch the movies, you know. We see the violence. We're not actually being violent, but, you know, we kind of groove it. And this is the way that we are as humans. Until God can show you the way he showed these guys, if you've been in church your entire life, until he can show you how abased you really are, and so that you won't even lift your eyes because of the shame and the guilt and the broken and contrite heart that you have. I think you're fighting an uphill fight. I just pray that with the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible.
It's incredible reality. And then to think that because of what Christ did for us on the cross, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. There's a verse, I guess you'd call it. I want to say a refrain, but I think it's a verse in the hymn. And you said you loved hymns, Rick. And I think it's "It Is Well with My Soul." Okay, and
I like that one.
Okay. There's a line or two in there that just rock my world every time I hear them. And I want anyone listening, all of us right here, we got the Zach man here, my buddy Johnny Lagooch Chandra is over here. He came over from Buffalo today to hear these stories. And all of you guys who've been sharing your testimonies, just stop for a minute. I mean, everybody listening, stop and think about your sin for a moment. Think about what you have done that has offended Jesus. Think about the rebellion. Think about all the things you've done in secret that you thought no one saw but Jesus did. Just think about all of that. And some of you have been caught doing things that you are humiliated about or you were embarrassed. Some of you went to prison for the things you did. Some seemingly got away with them, but you've lived with the guilt and the shame. And just think about that for a moment and realize that Jesus died to shed his blood to forgive us. And there's this line in the song, and it says, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Do you understand that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we bear this sin no more? It's gone. It's like Scott was talking about earlier, the weight was lifted off. Not in part, not part of it. He didn't say, you know, "I'm going to clean up part of you and the rest of it you're going to pay for on your own, man. I'm going to make you pay." Jesus himself suffered so that every one of us could be free. That rocks my world, and that, so that we could one day boldly approach the throne, not because we're good, but because Jesus is amazing. And man, that's the God we serve, and he's the God who redeemed us, and he's the God who's given us a chance to be talking about him on the radio today. I don't belong here, but Jesus made it possible for me to be here. You guys wouldn't have a story to tell if it wasn't for Jesus rescuing you.
That's right.
So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. But anything else you guys want to say about any of this? I mean, the reality of our sin should rock our world. And then the power of Jesus to take it away and redeem us should transform us forever if we really understand the story. Steve, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I look at the story of the disciples. And Jesus was crucified, and they went back fishing. But when they saw Jesus, when he ascended, I don't even think they're thinking about going back fishing then, because it had impacted them to such a degree. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit entered them. And they went from that point on for the rest of their lives with power and authority, doing whatever they could to bring in the sheaves for God Almighty. It's not for us. We're bringing God's sheaves into God's barn for his glory, not ours.
Amen. All right, when we come back, Io, you're next. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Conversation here with Rick Osborne, Scott Montgomery, John Cowell, and Steve Grant. More of Lifeline after this from Ed Carrero at Carrero's Performance Plus Auto, located on Military Road, just south of Sheridan Drive.
You just know when something's wrong with your car. You feel it when you drive it. Sometimes you can even hear it.
Lifeline. It is a lifeline.
Sometimes I just think how fun it would be to have time to just talk forever. And what I mean is go around, for instance, and say, what would you say to Jesus on the day you stand before him? What are you going to say to him? Based on how he rescued us and how he's rescued you, those of you who are listening, and how he made it possible for us to have a relationship with God when it's the last thing we deserved. Actually deserved punishment and separation from God, but he made it possible by his great love for us to know him. And he called us his own. I mean, what are we going to say to Jesus? I would love to hear the answers to those questions. let's get right back to it. Io from the GTA joining us here, and got to be brief because we're running out of time. But Io, these guys know your name. They were like, "Hey, he's a regular caller. We know this guy." So, welcome to the broadcast. What's up, brother?
Oh, just to let you guys know that you know, I love you guys so much. You know, every single one of you. We just have to represent. You know, we live in a world where there's so many secret Christians. They're acting like they live among ISIS or something. You know, you got to be real with Christ. You know, you got to be real, because this is, like, to me, I think one of you guys was talking about prayer just now. Prayer is more important to me than oxygen. So you can't even take prayer lightly. So for me, I'm not shy about Christ. This week, Brother Neil, I met two brothers. I was just minding my own business in my car, but they can hear WDCX. They came close to me. We had a chat. One of them wants me to come and speak at the church. The fact is, you've got to represent Christ very well. Whatever you're going through right now, I don't care what it is, it's supposed to be a test. You're designed to pass the test. Don't leave the journey too long. It's supposed to be 11 days. Don't let it be 40 years. Get close to Christ. Get in the Word. Get to know the book of John. Just eat the book of John. Basically, fall in love with Christ, and your life will be different. We all have our stories, but do not hide it under your mattress. Share it. Let people know you're going to be one of those lights Christ is talking about. For those of you who like to be, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist. None of those stuff is in the Bible. What we're looking for is a disciple of Christ. What we're looking for is children of God. That's what we're looking for. So stop labeling yourself as a Catholic or whatever. You're not. You're a child of God, and you've got to imitate Christ. Love you guys. You guys have a great evening.
Thanks, Al. You're getting a lot of thumbs up here, brother, just so you know. You guys are, like, all about what you're saying right now. And what's interesting about this, I don't know, maybe, Scott, you've got a mic in front of you, so you could comment for just a second, but what's central and what's core, what I hear him saying, is Jesus and prayer and the relationship with God. Because somebody could become a Christian and join a Bible study group and an accountability group and start doing all the Christian stuff that Steve did for all of his life and still miss the relationship with Christ.
That's right.
So, ultimately, doesn't it come back to constant connection to Jesus, meaning he is the vine, we're the branches, apart from him we can do nothing, right?
Yeah, I think that's the key. That's the key in itself, and I think prayer keeps you there, and that's what faith is. It's having faith, especially a lot of times you don't believe, and it's hard to see past stuff, but having the faith to say, yeah, I believe that he's working here, that he's doing something. If you don't have that, I think you're disconnected, like you say.
I found that hard at first. I couldn't understand it. Here I was, a sinner all my life. Last 28 years of my life have been, in my way of thinking, awesome. And then I come to Christ, and strange things start happening.
I think when you get too into some sort of crisis in your life, and I'll just talk about my son passed last Father's Day, and if you know the Lord, you're either running to him or you're running from him, and how you handle things. And I know me and Neil had talked before, but my son actually got saved just a month before he passed in a four-wheeling accident. But those were some of the, when you cannot do anything, cannot control anything, those were some of the closest times that I had with the Lord, was those days after my son passed. And I think we talked about it, where then you get in the busyness of life again and everything, and you just get so caught up in the world and everything else. It's like, how do I get back to this spot and quiet down to be with the Lord? So then that's having faith and trusting God. So it's either you're all in or you're out.
Well, and somebody might say, like John kind of indicated, when you come to Christ, there's still trials to go through. There's still situations to deal with. John, you said that you never argued with Marcella ever till you became a Christian.
That's right. And that's the devil. That was the devil. Yeah. Satan. I was following him. I wasn't following Jesus. And so he left me alone. He let me be in my own little world. But as soon as I turned to the Lord, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that's when things started happening. And he didn't like
that.
By
the way, that started in the garden.
There you go.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Rick, what about you when you accepted Christ? I mean, did you sense oppression? I mean, there was freedom, right? And there was joy. Scott talked about just laughing his head off and saying thank you 2,000 times to Jesus. So there's that. But as you walked with God, did you notice that the enemy was upset with you?
Yeah, because I was in prison, first of all, I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know whether I was just going to go to yard and be killed or what was going to happen. And so, so first of all, the first thing that happened to me in a prison cell was I started smelling good. And when you come off heroin, you don't smell good. It's a very acrid smell, right? Mm-hmm. And so I joke and go, the Holy Spirit smells like cookies, you know, because here I am in this prison cell. And I start. So it is the first weird thing that happened with me. Then afterwards, I had to quit the boys because I couldn't have two bosses. Mm-hmm. So I had to actually create a situation where I might not survive it. So I did, you know, I say my walk with the Lord was like walking on a tightrope at first. Mm-hmm. I had to look down and watch where my foot was going. I had to slide it forward. I had to have my arms out and keep my balance. And then slowly it was a 2x4.
Yeah.
And I could just put my foot in front and kind of keep, and then it was a sidewalk and I can just kind of walk down it. And so it is it was kind of weird. The one thing that there's something when you were talking here that just came to my mind. I work with at-risk youth. Right, mostly men. My wife works with the young women. If I say to the guys that I work with, God, your heavenly Father loves you, their first question isn't what's God, what's heaven, it's what's love and what's a father, right? And so I know in prison, I had to, like that caller, I had to represent. So in other words, I could fight a guy, but I had to give him grace afterwards and I had to show him love. And that was a good learning curve for me. It was 10-year learning curve before I ever came out on the street. But I had to learn that I had to present differently. Because what's going to draw somebody to me? Me having a Bible, unless they get in there, the word, it doesn't mean anything to them. But if they see something different in me, mm-hmm. then they can say, okay, how come he's reacting? We remember the old Ozzy. How does this new one exist? And that gives you the ability to talk to guys.
Hear you. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to give these guys a chance to say a final thing or two. And we're going to give God the glory for what he is accomplishing and is in the process of completing. Because one day this is all going to be complete when we stand before Jesus. Program today brought to you by Mark and Denise Tomlin of Churchill Chiropractic.
Maybe things would go better if we stopped trying to manipulate our circumstances and just trusted God. Imagine that.
All right, so we are back with our final segment here on a very interesting day. We spent a lot of time hearing testimonies from Rick Osborne, Scott Montgomery, John Cowell, and Steve Grant. Very different stories, but all ultimately revolving around the person of Jesus and his ability to change us from the inside out. And it's what he's in the process of doing. So these guys have been active in Bible study together, encouraging one another, accountability, that whole thing. And it's been really awesome. And all of them saying, of course, that they've been grateful for the opportunity they've had to be real with one another and to just tell the truth. You may have comments you want to share about what you think God is doing next or what he's saying to you, or remember, there are people listening who've heard this today. There's something you didn't get a chance to say you want to share. I'm going to ask you to keep all the comments brief because we're literally down to, like, I can't do the math this quick, but like 6 minutes total, so about a minute and a half each. But I don't know where we want to start. If you've got something you want to share, let's just jump in. Scott, what about you?
I think for me, it's just if you hear the word of the Lord and you know that the Lord's calling you, do something. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Do it. You come as you are, and God will clean you up. I just want to say how blessed I am, especially just to have the wife that I have. Also, we had a little guy, Noah, mm-hmm. Who's 2 years old. He's 2.5, actually, and he's not feeling good today, but he's blessed us with a beautiful little guy and a healthy guy. We're in our 40s having kids, so that's amazing in itself. And I always said to the Lord after I got saved, if I ever got the chance again to raise right from small, I would do it in the ways of the Lord, so... That's all I want to say.
You go, Daddy. That's awesome. Steve?
Well, for people that are Christians out there, I'd say submit to God with everything you've got. And keep in mind not to be distracted by this world. Because everything else we do in the world, besides what we do for Christ, is going to be burned up. And we're not going to be talking about it when we get before him.
It's a really interesting point, and let me just add something real quick, because I've been thinking about that timeline of eternity thing, and I was thinking, Well, we'll go into it another time, but we're a blip on the radar screen. We don't even count for a blip when you, in light of eternity. So the only thing that matters right now is what happens on this planet and whether or not that time is utilized for the things of God.
Amen.
Or not. And if not, they're just going to be wasted. They have no value in eternity. They're not going to even exist. They're going to be burned up, the Word of God says. So,
absolutely
powerful word, Steve. John, what about you?
Oh, all I have to say is Jesus loves you. God sent his only Son here to die for our sins. So all you have to do is submit. Submit to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Know that he paid the price for our sins and that God raised him back into heaven for our salvation. So I would like to just let everyone know that God is good and life is a lot better with him than in hell without him. That's
wow.
It.
Very well said. But what you're really trying to say is that there's hope for an old coot like you.
Absolutely. I'm 73, going to be 74 years old. And I only come to the Lord 3 years ago, but it's been the best 3 years of my entire life.
Hallelujah. What a great story. Rick, we've got 3 or 4 minutes here. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, listening to everybody around this table, these are my Christian brothers, and I love them. But you hear each of us have a different story, mm-hmm. but we have a common denominator in that we're saved by grace, and we're growing in the Lord, right? We each touch bottom differently. We each had to find the Lord in our own way. And if you're listening to us today, pay attention to that. You know when you're getting close. You'll feel the conflict. And remember, my dad, incredible Christian man, said to me, the best place you could ever be besides saved is searching, because God will take you there, right? So don't ever give up. Like I thought I was done, right? What could happen to me? And I got this whole incredible second life. You know, I have children too, and I'm 60 years old and I have teenagers. So I know what a blessing it is. And I love Jesus with all my heart. And thanks for having us on here, Neil.
And you are welcome. Scott said something earlier. He felt like he was being tugged towards God, that there was this relentless pursuit that was going on, and somehow or another, the things of God kept appearing before him, and he knew people were praying for him, and he eventually came to faith in Christ. In John 6:44, Jesus himself says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Scott, you were saying earlier, you know, if you're that person today and you're thinking, man, I've been listening to these stories, maybe I've got 1 foot in and 1 foot out, or I've just been holding God at arm's length, and if God can really transform the lives of these men, and he can be doing in their lives what he's doing, I need some of that. I got to get some of that. I would just say today is the day that you need to call out to Jesus and ask that his Holy Spirit would show you who you are in comparison to God's holiness, because when that light bulb gets turned on and we see our sin for what it is, we know that we need a Savior. We know that we need Jesus. And, you know, that may sound scary to some of you, but the reality is he's your Heavenly Father. God is your Heavenly Father who has desired a relationship with you and made it possible for us to even have a relationship with him, because he sent his Son to die on a cross to pay the price so that none of us would have to bear the responsibility of the sins that we've committed. None of us would have to pay the price on our own, because we couldn't. That would actually cost us our lives. It would end in death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. He came to rescue us, and he desires to rescue you. And I don't know what situation you're in today, or where your marriage is at, or what kind of drugs you're addicted to. It doesn't really matter what your story is, because as Rick said, we all come to God and we all hit bottom differently. But waiting for us right there at the bottom is Jesus himself. So give your life to Christ today. Surrender your life to him. And I just want to ask Rick, we've got about 60 seconds, maybe slightly more, but would you pray? And just close in prayer, but invite people to come to Jesus right here and right now.
Yeah, Lord, you hear our voice. We're Christian men gathered together here, and where one or two are gathered, so are you. And I remember when I was lost, and I thought, who's going to reach me in a prison cell? And Jesus can reach down and find a guy in SHU in Millhaven. He can find you where you are, right? And it's very simple. It is just, like just talking to God, realizing who you are, telling him who you are, asking for forgiveness and asking him into your life. And believe me, you have a better life afterwards. There's not one of us here that can say our life hasn't changed to the better because of Jesus Christ in our life. Amen.
Amen. So it's about turning from sin and self and trusting Jesus. So I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with us here today. It's tough, but somebody's got to sit under a wonderful umbrella in Crystal Beach, Fort Erie, Ontario, Canada, and talk about Jesus all day. But me and the Zach man were willing to comply. And our thanks to Gary and Linda Bergman for opening their home to let us be here. They're faithful volunteers at Church on the Beach. They've been blessing us for so many years. My buddy Johnny Lagooch Chandra, who's also a volunteer at Church on the Beach, was here with us today. But thank you for listening and participating. And hey, if you want information about what we've been talking about here today, you want to know what it means to know Jesus, contact us at lifeline@wdcxradio.com. We'll be happy to follow up with you and help even get you connected to some of these guys. Maybe you live in the Niagara region. We'll connect you, and these guys will be happy to help you in your walk with God. Again, it's lifeline@wdcxradio.com. Now, Rick is the founder of a ministry called Truth for Teens. If you want to know more about that, Rick, tell us real quick in your microphone there. You have a web address?
Yeah, truthforteens.ca or .com. I have both domains. And Ozzy's Garage is a program we're starting in Port Coburn now. So we need prayer, and it's where we build an old Harley with at-risk youth, young men who everybody's given up on that are kind of just lost at that point. They need to know that God exists and that he loves them. And so they can turn their lives around. And that's in my heart. I don't want any other young man to be like I was when I was 14.
All right. It's called Ozzy's Garage.
Yeah.
All right. You want to learn about any of that? Go to truthforteens.com or truthforteens.ca. Hey, for Zach Mann and all of us here at WDCX, it's Neil saying good night and God bless. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.